This is Robert Bickers of the Govey Twins, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
This is Galen Joseph Hunter, Executive Director of Wave Farm. Our programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC sustaining supporters who provide critical monthly support to keep WGXC 90.7 FM on the air. Thank you for listening.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Philip Grant of Nassau, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. The U.S. Senate voted mostly on partisan lines February 5th to acquit the President of the United States in the impeachment trial. Republican Mitt Romney became the first senator in presidential impeachment trial history to cross party lines with his vote to convict Donald Trump on the abuse of power article. Both New York Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, both Democrats, both voted to convict Trump. Locally, the Daily Freeman reports that more than 150 people protested the impeachment verdict at a Reject the Cover-Up rally February 5th in Kingston.
What happened today cannot be the end, as Donald Trump hopes it is. What happened today has to be the beginning. The beginning of an even more intense fight that we will win.
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 We will win. And we will win it because it's not just for us. It's for democracy.
Similar protests were held in Albany, Pittsfield, and across the country.
Kenneth C. Crowe II reports in the Times Union that sealed records the newspaper obtained show that 8 days after Rensselaer County District Attorney Joel E. Ablob lost a re-election campaign in 2018, he emailed copies of sealed records in a criminal case to his private email account. 2 years before, a judge cited concerns about the appearance of political motives and removed Ablob as the prosecutor in a case of three men suspected of leaking a 911 call made by the wife of an Ablob political ally. But Ablob defied the court and sent himself sealed documents from the case, the Times Union reports. State Supreme Court Justice Richard M. Cowie from Columbia County later dropped the charges in the case, but put a sealing order that shielded records in the case from public view. Attorney Joseph Ahern, who represented one of the parties in the case, said that Abloh's action, and I quote, violates the terms of the sealing order issued in 2017. I have never seen anyone intentionally violate a sealing order, including a prosecutor, police officers, or any other person, end quote. Abloh would not comment to the Times Union about the story. Others who were the target of the original investigation did not go on the record. Shane Hugg, a former assistant district attorney, said, and I quote, I'm disturbed that a man with no moral scruples now has my personal information, including my social security number, end quote. Gary Gordon, a former district attorney's investigator, said it displays Abloh's, and I quote, malice, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that both Cairo and Greenville have downsized their sidewalk projects. The two towns will team up to save costs, but have shortened the sidewalks they previously promised. Cairo's new sidewalk would start at the Cumberland Farms and continue to the Cairo Elementary School. Originally, Town Supervisor John Coyne said at the Cairo's February 3rd town meeting, the sidewalk would have extended to Broad Street. Teaming up with Greenville means the towns will spend even less on the project. Quote, we have two projects that are really close together, unquote, Coyne said. Quote, we can have one staging area and save everybody money. It will be beneficial to both communities, unquote. He said he hopes the construction begins May 1st. WGXC has a recording of the Town of Cairo meeting in the WGXC audio archives online at WGXC.org.
Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper. Hudson City School District Superintendent Maria J. Stuttermeyer reported to the Board of Education at its January 21st meeting, the district has been significantly impacted by internet problems since last spring. Stuttermeyer announced, and I quote, it has been determined that we had a DDoS, or a distributed denial of service attack, end quote. A denial-of-service attack is defined as occurring, and I quote, when legitimate users are unable to access information, devices, or other network resources due to the actions of a malicious cyber threat actor, end quote, according to the Department of Homeland Security. Stuttermeyer said the district firewall is working, but the system security is taking capacity away from the regular activities, so as a result, the network jams and the internet service is intermittent. The superintendent said this has caused, and I quote, a lot of frustration among faculty and staff, end quote. She said that the FBI is investigating, but there are no easy solutions. April Prestipino, assistant superintendent for school improvement, said as a result of the internet problems, the district will not attempt computer-based testing this year. She said, and I quote, we can't take the risk, end quote. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Kayla Harris reports for the Times Union that Democrat Brittany Vogel from Brunswick announced a campaign this week to win the 107th Assembly District seat from Republican Jake Ashby. Vogel is an assistant grocery store manager who wants to represent the district in Rensselaer County and parts of Columbia and Washington counties. Vogel is disavowing corporate donations and wants to address ending childhood poverty, climate change, and criminal justice reform. Quote, for the past two decades, I've been waiting for our politicians to address the issues that have made the lives of the working people like mine harder, unquote, she wrote on her website. Quote, after many years, I have realized that if we are ever going to get the leaders we need, ones who care about the people and want to see us do better, then we would have to run ourselves, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
John Campbell is reporting for the Democrat and Chronicle. Five Democrat presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders, Peter Buttigieg, Andrew Yang, Tom Steyer, and Joe Biden, filed New York ballot petitions February 3rd, the first day the State Board of Elections began accepting them for the April 28th presidential primary. Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, and Michael Bennett filed the following day, according to the State Board of Elections. Michael Bloomberg, Tulsi Gabbard, and Deval Patrick have yet to file. Democrat candidates have until February 6 to submit 5,000 signatures from registered members of their party in order to get on the state primary ballot. The state board will certify the ballot in early March after hearing any challenges to the petition's validity. Early voting in New York begins April 18th, and you can read the full story in the Democrat and Chronicle.
Mid-Hudson News reports that several lower Hudson Valley-based state legislators are voicing opposition to the Governor Andrew Cuomo's proposal to have the Thruway Authority take over the New York State Bridge Authority. The Bridge Authority oversees five Mid-Hudson bridges, the Rip Van Winkle, Kingston Rhinecliff, the Mid-Hudson, the Newburgh Beacon, and the Bear Mountain bridges. State Senators James Skouflas and Jennifer Metzger and Assemblyperson Jonathan Jacobson, all Democrats, criticized Cuomo's proposal, which followed the Thruway Board recently announcing 2021 toll hikes beginning to cover the cost of the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge at Tappan Zee. Skouflas called the proposal, quote, a backdoor attempt, unquote, to subsidize the Thruway Authority. Quote, I can't help but think that this proposed merger is intended to simply use the strong finances of the Bridge Authority to subsidize the not-so-good finances of the Thruway Authority, including the Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, unquote, he said. So far, officials in the northern Hudson Valley have not made their opinions known. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News website.
Hale Harris is reporting for the Times Union. State Senator Zelnor Myrie, the head of the Senate Elections Committee, is asking the State Board of Elections to pause the process to adopt touchscreen voting machines long enough to give lawmakers the time to gather public comment about the devices. The board is currently testing the Express Vote XL voting system designed by the Nebraska-based company Election Systems and Software. It is a ballot marking device, a hybrid machine that allows voters to cast their ballots using a touch screen. The system produces a paper record of the votes as a confirmation to ensure an accurate count. However, there are questions about the precision of the machines and whether they are vulnerable to hackers. The good government organization Common Cause New York have been raising alarms about the technology for months. The group argues that certifying the machines would, and I quote, risk jeopardizing New York elections, end quote. Myrie wrote a letter to the Board of Elections last week requesting the commissioners hold off their decision about the machines until they can call a public hearing. He wants to explore the Express Vote XL in addition to ballot marking devices in general during a hearing that would likely be held after the state budget is finalized on April 1st. You can read that full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Thursday, freezing rain and sleet before noon. Then rain is likely between noon and 4 p.m. The temperature high on Thursday will be 38 degrees. There'll be more rain Thursday night, mainly after 7 p.m., with the temperature low of around 34. The temperature high for Friday will be near 38 degrees, and more snow before 7 p.m. on Friday night, with a temperature low of around 17. And that's your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties. To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Thursday, February 6th, the Hudson Area Library History Room Committee presents the exhibit The History of the Census in Hudson, which will be on display in the library's community room from February 6th until March 31st. The public is invited to the opening reception Thursday, February 6th at 6 p.m. the Kapaki Planning Board will reportedly vote on whether to allow the GRJH gas station proposal in Crowleyville at this meeting, the Kapaki Town Hall on Mountain View Road, at 7 p.m. Hudson Valley composer Bobby Previtt leads a conceptual performance from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with a live web stream at WGXC.org and live on 90.7 FM at 8:30. Previtt has invited some of his favorite musicians in the Hudson Valley and beyond for these inaugural concerts of his newest project, Blueprints.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephen Merritt of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Lena. I am a student from MC Smith, and I am from Hudson.
Hi, my name is AJ. I go to school at Leibri, and I have recently moved up here from Manhattan, and now I live in Elizaville.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books Yay! We love, books we hate.
All that good stuff.
And books in between.
Things. Yeah, and bookish things.
Average books.
Average books.
And also, I'm kind of mad at my friend saying that bookish isn't a word.
Bookish is a word, I think.
Yeah. Do you know what it means?
It means
no.
You're bookish. I don't know. How do you define that?
Well,
it's a word if it has a meaning that is understood.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend.
That's what I say.
My friend pretended to pull out an imaginary dictionary, and I'm like, did you pull that out of your pants?
Bookish is a word. Quote, Emily Schmiedes, Hudson Area Library Director.
I feel like a library director is a fairly accurate reliable source when it comes
You're
to
You're the
words.
Director?
But also from Oxford.
Oh.
Bookish, Oxford adjective of a person or way of life devoted to reading and studying rather than worldly interests.
Me.
Or
me.
Of language or writing, literary in style or allusion.
It's me.
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 I'm illusion. Tag yourself. I'm illusion.
I'm going to tag myself as the writing part.
Okay.
Oh, I like
I'm going to tag myself as anything that has to do with books and whatever I love.
Nice. I like worldly interests as well.
Yeah.
But I also love books.
And
I don't think they're exclusive.
I put bookish as one of my traits, and I also put my very most trait that Emily and I think Amelia knows about when we first started the show, hungry, which I am now.
Me too. The struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're excited because Amelia's back. We missed her the past couple weeks.
I got sick. I couldn't. I had a bad throat.
Well, thank you for not bringing your sickness to the studio.
Yeah.
For sparing us. But we did miss you, and we're wondering if you've been reading anything interesting.
I haven't been reading anything, but recently the new semester started, and I got into my creative writing class. So I'm actually writing some stuff now and learning about some really interesting like story formats, like two-sentence horror stories or two-sentence stories in general. Six-word stories, which tend to turn into horror stories just because of how up for interpretation they are. And today we learned about microfiction, which is fiction under 500 or under 1,000 words. The definitions varied when I looked for it, which also, because of their short length and, like, very up to interpretation, like, things can also be horror stories. My class seems to lean into the horror aspect of writing much more, mostly because of the books we've probably read before. I mean, we read The Handmaid's Tale. We've at this point, we've been conditioned to go into the darker implications of things.
Yeesh. That's neat. Yeesh.
But we started writing some six-word stories and two-sentence horror stories, which we started peer editing. It's just very interesting because sometimes, compared to reading like a longer book, it's just... Hold on. This sentence started out with me having a clear path of somewhere to go. And it's just falling apart. I'm trying to compare it between like reading a whole novel and reading a microfiction or a short story.
Sure. Maybe it's
a
more
short
relief.
Story is, yeah, it's easier. And not easier in terms of reading level or skill, but like just lighter reading. But then it's also interesting because it also can be anything but light, like with the horror stories and with the microfiction we read today, which was a fairly dark subject matter. It's not like light in terms of content, but it's interesting how someone can get that same feeling from a short story as a longer novel would take to like with like 500 pages. These people achieve that like feeling and that mood within 500 words or less, and I think that's really cool, and I think it's really cool that we're learning about it.
Could you tell us maybe a short story? Have you written any?
I wrote a few. If I remember right, I remember one of my short horror stories. It went along the lines of, I had the dream again with dust filling my lungs. I've had this dream before. All I have to do is pray that when I wake up, I'll be able to reach for my inhaler. So I prefer to go for the real fears, like suffocation being that one. My friend has a real fear that the world is a simulation. Like, it's something she can't stand to the point where she can't watch The Matrix. It really, really disturbs her. So because I'm awful, I wrote one specifically for her along those lines. And she got mad at me, but... But, you know, she went at me because she wrote a two-sentence horror story about teeth. So I say it's fair.
That's interesting. Oh. I would love to hear more.
Both of us just praying on each other's greatest fears. Yeah.
Yeah. If you come across any other two-sentence stories that you think are really good, you should bring them to share.
I should definitely
share those on the radio.
Yeah, I believe our six word stories have been printed out and like put on the classroom wall. And the same thing's going to happen with two-sentence ones. So if I see any good ones, I can
take a picture and read them.
I just thought of one because you just mentioned thinking about others' fears. And I thought of my own fear. Well, it's kind of a babyish fear, but I still believe that there's a monster somewhere in the house. And because we used to live in the city, they were so noisy. I didn't really believe in that so much. But now, since it's so quiet and eerie, there's a tree right outside my room. And even though I close the curtains as tight as they will go, sometimes I see a shadow.
When you're in a more populated place, I have noticed that, like, fears of, like, intruders go down. Like, I've been in hotels in, like, fairly large cities for dance competitions. And when I'm in those hotels, the funny thing is, even though I'm in an unfamiliar place and something that would probably creep any other person out, I'm not as scared because I know that there are people around me. And if I were to yell, someone would hear me, which is different in your house. So it's weird all the different forms they can take because... One thing about the whole monster under the bed thing is that, like, when you're little, you're still scared that there's a monster under your bed or in your closet. When you get older, that monster might not be so much a monster, but someone who may have broken into your house, which is home invasion is, like, a huge fear as well.
Sure.
That's, like, very common.
I thought of a two-sentence story to go with that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting in the darkness of my bed, trying not to blink.
Yeah. Mm.
That's as far as I can go because I'm trying not to think of going even farther because I'm afraid that I'm going to scare myself.
Well, the whole that's it. But it's also the integrity of a two-sentence.
So you need Amelia
story.
to write the true horror story for you. So. Sometimes it's too scary to write about your own fears. But because get Amelia to do it for you.
Because then it goes even bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And bigger.
Like, I could not write anything having to do with teeth or orthodontal or dentistry. I would work myself into, like, a whole fit. I would not have a good time if I tried to write about that.
But don't blame you for that.
I have a huge fear of the dentist and anything having to do with teeth.
Yeah, I remember when we were talking about Smile by Rana Telgemeier that you were like, nope.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't blame you.
And that book isn't even meant to be like horrific. It really is more of a coming of age book, but just because of the subplot of the teeth, I cannot stand it. It freaks me out way too much to read.
Mm-hmm. The braces part actually freaks me out too, because she said that the brackets are on your... if you don't want to listen to this, maybe
no,
you
I'm
should...
okay with the brackets. Like, that's normal things that people do. It's the stuff that isn't normal, like teeth falling out when they shouldn't. That is the root of my fear. But general orthodontal, like, procedures, although if I were to have them done to me, they would scare me. Just hearing descriptions of them doesn't bother me too much, because those are normal procedures.
And so it said that they have the brackets on her teeth. She takes out the wires, and then he pulls it really hard. And
yeah,
then
they
tightens it even more. Like
I've heard
and
from people who have
super
braces
mouth pain.
That like that like, that does ow! Hurt a lot when it's done. I've read from people who have it done that it actually doesn't hurt as much when it's being done, so much as it does afterwards in the next few days. That's what my friends say to add braces.
What do you think, Lena?
But I
Lena
like,
has braces.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
You still have them, right?
Is it like more uncomfortable when they're being tightened or like after?
It's more uncomfortable when they're being put on, because my mouth was starting to hurt. Because like, remember that part where like they were working on her teeth and they had that little thing to keep her mouth open? It was uncomfortable. I just wanted my skin to just snap so I could just, like, leave and so I can go to the hospital.
I have such a hard time with that, too. I don't like having to keep my mouth open for all that time, even for a normal dentist visit. Mm-hmm. I would have had braces if I hadn't been terrified and said, you know what, no. But I was fitted for them, I guess is the right word, with that awful gel stuff. And I'm not gonna lie, I was 16. There's no reason for me to have acted the way I did, but I actually broke down in tears while this was happening to me. I was not having a good time. I was so scared. That orthodontist was the most patient man I've ever met, because I'm sitting here sobbing. It was not good. It was not a fun time.
There's another part about it, and it's not only when she had the braces on, is when she went to the endodontist. That part, like, I was like, Because then she had to do the scraping of the teeth, and then she was like, oh, why don't you just give her another Tylenol?
It's
and
like,
in the picture she drew them, it was like they were evil with the eyebrows going down, and it was so scary.
Yeah, it doesn't help. Like, the illustration, the fact that it's so cartoony, it almost makes it worse. I feel like I'd be
very.
I feel like I'd be less disturbed if I knew this story was supposed to freak me out, but I know it's not supposed to freak me out, and I'm just freaked out by it anyway, which makes it even more disconcerting.
Yeah, it's like.
I do like drama, though, and I haven't read Guts yet, but drama is probably my favorite that she's written so far. I liked the main character's purple hair, and I think that's the first thing that ever actually made me really want to get my hair dyed was reading that book and seeing the cool purple hair.
When that book first came out, my Bound by Books co-host, what it inspired in them was wanting to try bubble tea, because the characters have bubble tea in the book and nobody knew what
it
was.
It's so good.
I desperately want to like bubble tea or boba tea or whatever you call it.
It's called boba, but like people say
bubble.
Yeah, because it looks like bubbles.
And it's cute.
But I don't like boba personally.
I desperately wanted to like boba/bubble tea. I've tried it many, many times until finally my mom was like, you don't like this. don't like this. It's actually a mixture of two things I don't like to drink, which is milk and tea. I don't know why I thought I would like the liquid as it is. And then the bobas are just weird and like jelly-ish and weird. And I try to drink more to rinse down the boba, and I just end up getting more boba in my mouth. And it's like, oh no, it never ends.
You have to chew it and then swallow. That's actually my mom's favorite part.
Yeah.
When mom is halfway through it, I just.
You just have
to take a
spoon.
Do you want the bubbles?
You gotta eat it out the bubbles.
It was like, do you want the bubbles? Because I will absolutely will eat them if you don't want them.
I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that they had so many different flavors of the tea that I thought eventually maybe someday I'd find a kind I like, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
No matter how much I want to be cool and be able to walk around the mall sipping boba tea, I'm just not going to be that person.
Yeah. Stick with frappuccinos.
So speaking of boba tea, Lena, do you have any book you want to talk about? That was my very
That was a really
segue.
Weird segue, but it was I appreciated that segue so much.
The book does not actually have to do with boba tea.
Yeah. But it starts with the same word.
I didn't have a book to talk about because I was mostly reading the Okay Witch, but I'm going to read again just to trigger my friend. And also
to trigger your friend?
Yes.
Oh, why?
How does that trigger
because
your friend?
Why isn't she okay with the Okay Witch book?
She's like, oh, you're done with the book? Finally! And then I'm like, but I'm going to reread.
Oh, does she want... Wait, yeah. Wait.
Does she
want to read the book?
Yeah, whenever
why would you do that to her?
Because whenever I get a book, she steals my book and then it reads it. And I have enough
it's
of
my
it.
Turn.
Okay, I've had enough of it.
This is an even exchange, I guess. Yeah. This is a little eye for an eye thing going on.
But did you like
I guess
it
I can...
on first read?
Yeah. But I'm just going to keep renewing the book
until
she
the library
just,
bills you.
Yeah, until the library's like, God, woman.
Speaking of which books, I bought some from Barnes & Noble with my, man, this inspired a thing. I don't know what I hit here, but okay. I bought like 3 books about Wicca, more like Wicca religion.
What's Wicca?
It's that's what these books are gonna tell me. as from what I know, it's basically about instead of worshiping a god or one god, you defer to like forces of nature and energy, and it has a lot to do with crystals and seasonal changes and Yule and all that kind of stuff. Basically, I bought these books because I wanted to understand it because I had been doing research on the internet and the internet was telling me 15 different things. So I decided to just choose one source and learn from this one source, and this one source will be what I deal with. So I bought 3 books by the same author. All but one were from the same author. I'm already lying. I'm already not going from the same source.
It's okay.
My philosophy is already falling apart,
maybe
but you know what? It's
books.
Okay.
Your source can just be books.
Yeah. Yeah, I seem to trust books a bit more than the internet because the internet can be written by anybody, but I can actually like look up these authors and figure out what their like views are because the authors are Wicca practitioners. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then I open the first page and it's like, cool, Wicca religions, visualization, all that kind of stuff. And then it goes into like how to build an altar. And I'm like, wait, slow down. You're moving too fast. What
like,
are we
I'm
talking
not there
about?
Yet.
I haven't gotten to that point yet. What am I... Explain to me what I'm even, like, worshipping here. What's going on? It's like, and it's going into all these details about how, like, the north and south and east and west, how the altar should be positioned a certain place in the home or in the room to, like, the north, east, south, or west, or whatever.
You need to get a compass.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I have to pull out my compass app on my phone just to start this setting up, and then I don't even know. And then it's like, you gotta have, like, 15 different candles of 15 different colors or scents. And I'm like, whoa. And then here's your crystals. And I'm like, I don't have half of those. Hold on. I'm so confused. My friend is the crystal friend in our group, and I have so many crystals just lined up on my windowsill from her. I don't know what to do with any of them. I literally have no idea what to do with any of them.
Awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, it's wild, and that's just the first book. I haven't even started the other two.
Oh my god.
I haven't even started the other two. I'm just like sitting here like, okay. And it's like, yeah, choose your patron god or goddess. And I'm like, whoa, wait, from what religion? Are we talking Egyptian, Greek? Is it up to me? What? I need a bit more context here. I'm just like, what's going on? It's wild. It's absolutely wild. But it is very, very...
I think you should have stuck with the internet.
It is very, very fascinating and interesting to read.
Yeah.
Does it have cool pictures?
No, but it does have a very, very gorgeous cover with a pentacle and like a bunch of gold leaf on it, which is really pretty.
Are your parents worried about you?
My mom actually straight up asked me, are you a witch, after I bought all these books. And I said, no, not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, witch buddies.
You're like, give it time, mom. Give it time.
I'm just like, give it time, mom.
I'm one.
Hold on.
Amelia, can we be witch buddies?
I'm sure. Do you know more than I do? I'm looking to anyone at this point.
What if next week we came on the radio and we're like, welcome to Wicca Friends.
Welcome to Bound by Wicca.
Bound by Wicca.
Or like, welcome to Bound by Wicca. And today we're going to be talking about crystals and our magic spells. But I know a magic spell.
Crystals, I guess, are that crystals, certain crystals do have a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I did buy one for myself that my friend did not buy me. That's, and I don't remember what it's called. It's a pale blue thing. Which is supposed to help with auditory, like, overstimulation and all that kind of stuff. Which is a thing I have a bit of a problem with. Yeah. So I bought this for myself, and I'm like, maybe this will help. And you're supposed to feel energy from it, or at least, like, hold it and meditate with it. Which I haven't done, because I'm awful.
You're not awful.
Yeah, but the point is, I bought these things, and I'm not even doing what I'm supposed to do with them. My one friend just said, put them on your windowsill and something will happen. So now they're all on my windowsill and nothing has happened. It's been months.
Or has it? Maybe it has and you just haven't realized
maybe
it yet.
Is it something bad?
Let's hope not.
I have a bunch of those things now. My friend bought me my birthstone for my birthday as well, which is very fitting.
Oh, nice.
So I have a garnet now.
Wait. When's your birthday again?
It's January 14th. Oh. And my birthstone would be a garnet.
Oh. So my birthstone is the one that you're wearing around your neck.
The pearl?
I'm June.
Or you mean...
June. I thought I was Moonstone.
Yeah, no, it's, like
but maybe I'm because I'm later June. Maybe it's
maybe.
Is it by month or by?
It's like by month. Like, well,
maybe
I'm
just
pretty
have
sure
it wrong.
It's a gem. like the gem is the pearl for the birth month.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the gem. Hmm.
Maybe
not the stone.
Well, to be fair, it's okay because these probably are definitely not real pearls. But
so don't try to take
way.
Them. You can't
so
claim them way. As yours.
Aww.
Yeah.
It's Amelia's necklace.
Yeah.
But anyways, I want to move on to AJ before we run out of time.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a book you wanted to talk about?
Yes, but there's just one more thing about the Wicca. Amelia, you were talking about how it was like more focused on the seasons and stuff like that.
Yes.
Well, that I think that for all the viewers that out there that have seen the Frozen 2 movie, it's actually, I think that it's actually based on the Wicca because they were like these four spirits of the wind, the fire.
That's a thing, though. Like, that is actually
earth.
A thing. After my mind was left reeling from the temple building instructions, I ended up actually skipping ahead in this book. Despite what I promised myself that I wouldn't do, I did skip ahead, and it got to talking about how to banish bad energy, also called spirits sometimes.
Know.
Bad energy, and how to invite, like, good energy or good spirits. I'm using air quotes. I think the spirits might just be another term for the good energy, but that's an interesting thing that was factored into there. And it's really interesting, because I feel like a lot of media portrays witchcraft in, like, not a great light, like in Hereditary or even The Witch, which are both horror movies. But real life, it's like these people are kind of just chilling with their altars and and you give thanks to, like, you know, the seasons and the forces of nature that, like, you know, bring food and stuff. Not so much like a god, which I can understand why people would, like, prefer sometimes. But it's basically, it is. It's a very interesting book. Even if you're, like, not interested in, like, converting or anything, just to read about, it is very fascinating because it goes into the history of the religion as well.
Sounds very interesting. So AJ, what have you been reading?
So this time I actually did remember to bring a book, but sadly you don't have it on the table with us. So it's this book called A Tale by Letters of Liars and Leaks, and it's about the story of this fifth grade classroom that wants a new water fountain, but then the person, the director who's making it, who's designing the water fountain, goes into all sorts of crazy ideas. And then the fountain in the end, which is on the cover and the back cover, is so different from what the description was. And then in the end, there was this letter that says, "Dear Florence, our cafeteria sink is beyond need of repair." And these are the instructions. And I'm like, oh my god, is there going to be a sequel? I wonder what the kitchen sink's going to look like. Is it going to be like this huge fountain that has soap suds geysers that are shooting out of it. I'm like, that's oh so my funny. God, what's going to happen? It's like, oh my God, let's hope to the Lord that there's a sequel. And I finished reading it, but I did skip some of the pages, which were just letters from one person who had a crush on this other person. And I'm like, I'm not interested in crushes. I just like, what's going to happen?
That's so
to the,
funny.
About the water
because
fountain.
Yeah. Earlier today, my friend was actually talking about how much she hates romance books, so it's funny that we both get into this topic at the same time, which she doesn't really have a reason for. I'm still reading Bitten, by the way. It's very slow going because I honestly don't like it, but I've been dared to read it. But
if you don't want to let the dare go,
I can't admit defeat now. Yeah. I'm already on page 50. It's beyond the point of no return now. The point of no return is 25. This is something I have decided for myself.
Good luck.
But yeah, I'm still reading that. It's still weird.
Well, I have a couple books I can just quickly give a shout out to. Because last week, the American Library Association gave out their Youth Media Awards, which are like the big literary awards. Or they're considered the big literary awards, at least with librarians in this country. And so the biggest awards are, because they're the ones that have been there the longest as well, are the Newbery Award, which is for writing, and the Caldecott Award, which is for illustration. And the Newbery Award went to The New Kid by Jerry Craft, which I've talked about on the show before.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a really great graphic novel, comic book. And he's
give it to me, please.
And he's come to the Children's Book Festival a number of years, and he'll be here this year as well.
Wait,
please give that book
what
to me.
What is the author's name again?
Jerry Craft.
Yeah, I think he came to our school last year, but like we had a sign that said, Jerry Craft is coming to the festival this year, and it's like a comic. And then one of the people was like, who's Jerry Craft? Jerry Craft is the author of The New Kid. Welcome, Jerry Craft.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah, so it won the Newbery Medal. It also won the Coretta Scott King Author Award. And this year, not as part of this award ceremony, it won the Kirkus Prize for Young Readers Literature as well. So he is on a roll and very deserving, in my opinion.
That's great but that he's coming cool, to your school.
He also made history with the Newbery Medal because it's the first graphic novel ever to win that award.
Oh, that's great.
In the history of the award.
I love now it when, I really need to read it.
Oh, I love it when graphic novels like get recognition because it feels like they don't a lot. It feels like yeah. they're considered lesser than normal novels, which I can't stand when people imply that they're lesser than normal novels. That's cool that he's coming to your school. I miss the grades when like authors would come in to the classroom. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, maybe if we're lucky, since it is a creative writing class this year, maybe one more time before I get out of school, I'll be able to maybe have an author come in, since that's basically the basis of our class is writing. That would be great.
But what if you end up being one of the authors that gets to go to the grade?
Yeah. That would be great.
That means I would know an author.
That would be
really.
That would be really. That would actually be really nice.
Hello, my future author of my favorite book that I'm going to.
So the one other book I wanted to give a shout out to was The Undefeated by Kwame Alexander and Kadir Nelson. Kwame Alexander has also been to the Hudson Children's Book Festival before, and this is a great book, and it's very appropriate for Black History Month. I'll read you the little description here. The Newbery Award-winning author of The Crossover pens an ode to Black American triumph and tribulation with art from a two-time Caldecott honoree. So now, with this award, it won the Caldecott for Kadir Nelson for the illustrations, and it was also a Newbery Honor book. So Kwame Alexander was awarded that. And it was a winner of the 2020 Coretta Scott King Illustrator Award. But it says, originally performed for ESPN's The Undefeated, this poem is a love letter to Black life in the United States. It highlights the unspeakable trauma of slavery, the faith and fire of the civil rights movement, and the grit, passion, and perseverance of some of the world's greatest heroes. The text is also peppered with references to the words of Martin Luther King Jr., Langston Hughes, Gwendolyn Brooks, and others, offering deeper insights into the accomplishments of the past while bringing stark attention to the endurance and spirit of those surviving and thriving in the present. And it's just a really lovely book. I love Kadir Nelson's illustrations. He's, in my opinion, one of the best children's book illustrators in the world. Basically any book he illustrates, I will get, because his work is just beautiful. But yeah, I'm very excited for them that they won those honors.
So for the last author, even if it were a story that he illustrated that you don't really like that much, would you still read it because of his illustrations?
If I didn't like the story that much? Well, I guess I wouldn't know until I read it.
Would you just look at the illustrations?
Sure. Yeah.
I've bought books to just look at the illustrations, too. That's basically all I do with my I Spy books now, is I look at the illustrations are really the light word. The sets, I guess. But I do have a book of fairy tales that I look at because they're all fairy tales that have been made into ballets. So the Nutcracker, Swan Lake. So the illustrations are beautiful in those, but I've never actually read the stories because I know them already. They're classics.
Yeah, but he's pretty selective of what he illustrates, I assume. So they're usually pretty good. He also has written some children's books as well, but he's primarily an illustrator or an artist. But anyways, we're out of time for today. But we'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
And I was just about to say something. See you, viewers.
Remember it for next time.
Yes.
We hope everyone has a great week, and
we hope that Amelia will be with us next week.
Yeah, I know. I've been gone a lot. I'm sorry.
No more getting sick. Anybody.
I'll try.
Never again.
I'll try.
My immune system is gone. Let's hope that we're all too healthy for that.
I've been through 3 years of high school. My immune system said we're done. Fourth year, we're leaving.
And scene.
Anyway, bye.
Have a good week. Happy reading.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for February the 6th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. White House hopeful Joe Biden called his poor performance in the Democrats' first 2020 leadership vote in Iowa's caucuses a gut punch, that from the BBC. They report Biden's coming fourth according to incomplete results. Biden said, quote, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This isn't the first time in my life I've been knocked down. The BBC adds, with most of the results declared in Monday's glitch-plagued caucuses, Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders are neck and neck. New Hampshire is the next state to vote on February 11th. Meantime, our Mike Bowen reports Iowa's prominent role in the presidential nominating process is now being questioned after this week's delays and technical issues.
Iowa has long held one of the most closely watched events in the election cycle with its caucuses, as the first vote's taken every 4 years. But with this year's delayed results, those who want Iowa to switch to a primary election and later on the calendar amplified their calls. Veronica Fowler with the ACLU of Iowa says her organization would at least like to see more improvements for people who can't take part.
We have concerns about the current format because it's very difficult for a wide variety of marginalized people and many others to actually participate.
Fowler says there are access issues for people with disabilities, older people who can't travel, and for anyone who works in the evening. The Iowa Democratic Party said it did take steps this year to make the event easier for people with disabilities, including an online form for voters to make accommodation requests.
An effort to increase the minimum wage for Ohio workers is a step closer to the November ballot. Here's Mary Sherman.
On Wednesday, the Ohio Ballot Board certified the language for the proposed amendment brought forth by Ohioans for Raising the Wage. James Hayes with that coalition says the measure mirrors the 2006 initiative that indexed wage increases to inflation.
We would be voting to raise wages to $13 by 2025. That rate would be connected to inflation, so wages would continue to rise with the cost of living year after year, as it has been thus far. But we would just have a higher floor to begin with.
The current minimum wage is $8.70 an hour. The coalition needs to collect about 450,000 certified signatures by July 1st to put the measure before voters in November. This story was produced in association with Media in the Public Interest and funded in part by the George Gunn Foundation.
Currently, an Ohioan working full-time for minimum wage is paid just over $18,000 a year.
According to research from Policy Matters Ohio, that would leave a full-time worker with a family of three about $3,000 below the poverty line. This is PNS. Kentucky lawmakers considering a bill that would prevent seriously mentally ill defendants from receiving the death penalty.
A handful of other states, including Ohio, Virginia, and Indiana, recently have pushed similar legislation. Patrick DeLahanty of the Kentucky Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty says the bill does not exclude everyone with some form of mental illness from capital punishment, only those with severe disorders such as schizophrenia.
And so it doesn't seem fair in a system of justice that seeks to punish someone and also show people the difference between good and bad.
He says the bill is similar to a Kentucky law passed in the early 1990s that bars people deemed to be mentally disabled from being executed. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness and other groups have publicly stated their opposition to executing people with serious mental health issues. The Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in southwestern South Dakota will be the site of a $100 million solar energy generation project, Ros Brown reports for PNS.
The state's Public Utilities Commission approved the Lookout Solar Park this week for property about 80 miles from Rapid City. To build the state's first large-scale solar facility, a German company will lease the land from the Rapp family. Lynn Rapp is a member of the Ogallala Sioux tribe who has represented the family and hopes the historic project will be an example for other reservations.
And then we know that when a dollar is spent, it turns over seven times in the community where it is used, and our reservation towns are desperate for cash.
The lease agreement is the first of its kind for the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
And finally, Eric Gladys tells us a coalition of conservation groups are taking the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to court over its proposal to postpone phasing out winter feeding at the Jackson Hole National Elk Refuge.
Recent winters have seen more than 8,000 elk crowded on refuge feed lines for alfalfa pellets provided by the agency. Connie Wilbert with the Sierra Club's Wyoming chapter, one of the groups joining the lawsuit, says the time for Fish and Wildlife to take steps to prevent the potentially catastrophic spread of disease is now.
The Fish and Wildlife Service needs to start phasing out feeding on the elk refuge now, before the refuge becomes infected with chronic wasting disease.
Wildlife officials detected chronic wasting disease in Jackson Hole in 2018, and biologists say it's just a matter of time before it reaches elk drawn to easy winter food supplies. Wyoming livestock producers and hunters have urged Fish and Wildlife to keep the winter program in place to keep elk away from livestock grazing on public lands.
Data collected by state agencies and NGOs show there is enough natural food to sustain the region's elk and other big game over the winter. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and we are listener supported. We're online at publicnewsservice.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. Ichabod Crane students, parents, and staff turned out en masse February 4th for the Board of Education meeting to discuss allegations of inappropriate comments made by a board member about a student. According to an online petition about the incident, and I quote, "In recent weeks," end quote, Board of Education member Jeffrey Olette made remarks described as, and I quote, "defamatory, reckless, and unfounded," end quote, regarding a current Ichabod Crane student in, and I quote, "a public forum," end quote. According to the petition, Olette was asked to apologize and resign. He did apologize but refused to give up his seat. The petition asked that Olette be removed as a member of the board and included the signatures of nearly 600 people. Board President Matthew Nelson read a statement at the start of the meeting saying the board in no way condones or supports, and I quote, "any derogatory statements made about our students," end quote, but offered no details of what was alleged to have happened. Nelson also moved the public comment period to the end of the meeting, giving the audience members time to speak after the board completed its regular business. Olette, who attended the February 4th meeting, did not comment. The student's mother, Teresa Wolf, said the family had tried to work out the issue in private, saying they had many conversations with the school district, including with lawyers. She then asked the board member to apologize and resign. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. WWNY-TV is reporting New Yorkers now have added time to enroll for health insurance through the state for 2020. The Department of Health has extended the open enrollment deadline until February 7th. The New York State of Health online marketplace allows residents to shop for, compare, and enroll in health coverage. It is also the only place to get financial assistance provided by the federal government to lower the cost of health coverage. Applications can be submitted online at nystateofhealth.ny.gov or by calling the customer service center at 1-855-355-5777. And you can read the full story at wwnytv.com. Chris McKenna is reporting for The Fray. The New York State Senate, February 4th, passed 17 bills intended to address the opioid epidemic. One of the bills, sponsored by Democrat State Senator Jen Metzger and approved unanimously, would crack down on physicians who overprescribe painkillers by adding a clause to state law requiring the state health department to monitor prescription data for the, and I quote, inappropriate prescribing of controlled substance, end quote. The state Senate passed the same bill last session, but the assembly never took it up. The Rosendale Democrat co-sponsored most of the other bills approved on Tuesday, including measures that would require updated training for prescribing controlled substances and require that patients who are given opioids be prescribed drugs that can reverse an overdose. Read the full story at The Fray. Times Union is reporting Glencliff Elementary School in Rexford, Saratoga County, was closed February 5th due to an outbreak of influenza. Niskayuna Central School District officials confirmed that significant absences due to the flu prompted the decision to close. The district said it was following through on a recommendation from Saratoga County Public Health Department. This is the second time in less than a month that Niskayuna officials have closed the school in the wake of a large number of flu-related absences. On January 24th, Birchwood Elementary was shut down to provide staff the time to thoroughly clean the building. You can read that full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. Local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website at wgxc.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. Messy start to the day today. Plan extra travel time into your morning. Temperatures are right on the freezing line and a large, warmish front is dropping sleet and ice accumulating to less than an inch before 10 a.m. Then the system begins to break up and change to rain, continuing for the rest of the day, with temperatures reaching 36 just before dark. Wear waterproof outer layers today. This type of weather can very easily cause hypothermia in anyone with wet clothes. Overnight rain continues with temperatures staying at about 36. Rain keeps going into Friday, turning back to snow and sleet just before dark, with a drop-off in temperature reaching the low 20s overnight. Sunset today will be at 4:55 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:03 a.m. Looking way up, we see a new coronal hole opening up on the sun, giving us another blast on the 10th. The flow from the previous canyon-shaped hole is striking the earth as you listen to this broadcast. No magnetic storms predicted, but aurora activity will ramp up. Solar wind speed is currently 463 kilometers per second at 16 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4. Unsettled. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Going with the flow on today's Current Cast. With water shortages plaguing much of the U.S., we must use less to flush, brush, and wash, but we still want our water fixtures to work well. The U.S. government created the WaterSense label so consumers and contractors can easily choose products certified not only for minimal water use, but also for peak performance. And WaterSense certified toilets, faucets, spigots, shower heads, and the like are not hard to find.
Right now, there's more than 12,000 products that meet the label specification.
That's Karen Wirth of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. She says WaterSense certified products save water, energy, and money. A win for your wallet and the world. Current Cast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
Tell you a story. It's about poo. Poo, poo. Sit down. Poo, poo.
One of which two of them were heard was for that reason. One of which two of them were heard was for that reason. One of which two of them were heard was. One of which two of them were heard was.
Poo, poo. Story. It's about poo. Poo, poo. Sit down. Poo, poo.
One of which two of them were heard was for that reason. One of which two of them were heard was for that reason. One of which two of them were heard was. One of which two of them were heard was.
Poo, poo.